Hey, this is Melissa Bartel, the Bats of Mermaid. This is my entry for the Dog Days of Podcasting 2014, and this is episode number 28.
Off my fingers tried to clutch your love. I'm sick of the soap in a bathtub, love. I need something to hold.
So tonight, or rather this morning, I am sharing with you the piece that I wrote for the NYC Midnight Flashfit competition. I am in heat 18 and round 1. And now that my story receipt has been confirmed, I am allowed to blog it or share it. The way it works is this. People pay like $30 to enter. There are hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of people who do round one. Everybody does round one and round two. On Friday night, the weekend before my birthday, so Friday night, the 15th of August, right before midnight at 11:59 p.m., we all received our prompts. And what I received was the genre is a crime caper. The object that has to be included, but it doesn't have to be the focus, is a pocket mirror. And the location, the primary location, has to be a tobacco shop. We have a maximum of 1,000 words and 48 hours in which to write the piece. Then they judge them all. And right before the first weekend of October, we will get our results. Everybody does round two. So it'll be another thing where they, right before midnight, give you your prompts of genre, object, location, and then you get to write another 1,000 words. And the scores of round one and round two determine whether or not you go forward. I've never written a crime fiction before. I've never written noir before, but it seemed to sort of want to be neo-noir. And I've never been in a tobacco shop in my life because I'm a singer and tobacco or any kind of smoke can kill your vocal cords. And I care about my vocal cords more than that. Also, I have an uncle who died of emphysema when I was 16. And my mother is extremely asthmatic. So none of those things made me ever want to try smoking, with the exception of a couple of times in college, as one does. There were nights when we would drive out of San Francisco to a friend's house in the outskirts of Petaluma, and we would be listening to things like Voice of the Beehive and Information Society. Can you tell it was the late 80s and early 90s? And smoking Krakatoas, which are clove cigarettes. I still like the smell of them, and I really dig the smell of pipe tobacco, but I don't smoke, and I will never smoke, other than the couple of times I tried it in college. But anyway, here's the story, called Up in Smoke. The scent of pipe tobacco is what hits me first, dark and sweet and almost figgy. I stop dead in the doorway, close my eyes, and inhale. For this scent, I might take up smoking myself. You're late, comes a gravelly voice from somewhere to my left. Don't just stand there, sweetheart. In or out, make up your mind. My eyes pop open. I'm actually 5 minutes early, but I know not to bother contradicting him. Motorcycle accident, I say. I walk all the way into the wood-paneled room, taking in the row of humidors, the wooden drawers, the supple leather club chairs pulled up to the fireplace in the back corner. Got delayed. Just like a woman, he grumbles, but it's good-natured grumbling, part of our ritual. 5 minutes, he adds, with just a little more energy. Gotta finish with this client. I notice him, then, the third person in the tiny smoke shop. He's wearing dark jeans, a forest green Henley shirt, and soft brown shoes. Noticing this takes a fraction of a second. A closer look reveals dark brown hair, blue eyes, long lashes. Except for the lashes, he looks almost intentionally ordinary. Afternoon, the stranger says, turning those blue eyes directly at me. It could be a greeting, a challenge, or an invitation. I choose the easiest interpretation, flash a noncommittal smile and answer in kind. Afternoon. I cross the floor to the chairs, drop into the one that has become mine over these past few weeks. I cross my feet at the ankles, the way my mama taught me, setting my purse down on the floor. Henley, in my mind, that's the stranger's name now, is still at the counter, his voice a low, smooth murmur. Counterpoint to the rubble of the shop owners. I reach into my purse, pull out a small mirror, a tube of lipstick. I tilt the former just enough to watch the two men behind me. Henley glances at the framed art on the wall behind the counter, one of several vintage posters featuring pinup girls hawking long-since illegal Cuban cigars. This advertises Flor de Rafael Gonzalez. Our reflected gazes, his in the glass, mine in the mirror, meet and hold. He smirks at me. Then he's gone. The shop owner, Victor, waits a full minute, then locks the front door, flips the sign from open to closed, and joins me by the fire. "Is that it?" he asks, glancing toward the object in my hand. "This?" I wave the tube at him. "Nah, it's his lipstick." I prove it by opening the tube and smearing some of it across my bottom lip. I check my work with the mirror, then let my hand dangle toward my purse. The compact goes inside, but the lipstick lands on the floor, rolls under the chair. Victor narrows his eyes at me, then relaxes his expression, though the crags of his face are always there, belying the youthful glimmer in his warm brown eyes. He pulls a cigar from his breast pocket, clips it, lights it, and begins to puff. "So, how am I doing?" I uncross my ankles, recross my legs at the knee. My skirt rides up, and I know he's looking. Maybe I want him to. I pull out my tablet, open the accounting program I've been using. "Revenue's better," I say, "but still not great." We go over the numbers line by line, and then I email him a copy. He just winks at me and puffs a cigar. "Saldino up their offer," he says after a few minutes. He gives me a number that is quite a bit higher than the offer he received a month before, but still barely at market. "You should take it," I advise, leaning forward to put my tablet away. If I'm also giving him an eyeful of cleavage, that might be intentional. No one will offer more. He puffs some more, round smoke rings rising into the air between us, then dissipating. "Not a quitter," he says. "Not done yet." "Victor, save it, sweetheart. This shop, it's all I have right now." I stare at him for what seems like a long while, but is likely less than a minute. He's grizzly and old. Old enough to be my father, maybe even my grandfather, but there's something about him that speaks to me deep inside. My mouth opens, my tongue darts out, I wet my lips. "Easy, princess," he says. "I ain't gonna lie and say I'm not flattered. Just not interested." "Just not stupid," he corrects. "You should get going," he adds, his gravelly voice softening just a little, into sand, maybe. "Leave an old man alone with his thoughts and his smoke." I start to protest and think better of it. Instead, I get up, sling my purse over my shoulder, listen to my heels clicking like clock ticks on the wood floor as I walk out. At the door, I catch his reflection in the glass and wish I'd at least kissed him goodbye. The building itself goes up in smoke sometime during the night. One fatality, Victor Montalvo, no known relatives. Police suspect arson, but everything is so charred that there's no hope of finding the culprit. The courier arrives at my apartment door 3 days after that. I recognize the scent of his pipe tobacco before his face registers. Henley. He hands me a thick envelope, cash, small bills, lots of them. "The old man says to tell you, well done," he says. "He bought the block," I ask. "Construction starts first of the month." "You my new handler?" I wait for his confirming nod. He starts to give me his name and I stop him. "No," I say, "don't tell me. I'll just call you Henley." He nods. "I'll be in touch." "I'm sure you will." His pipe tobacco lingers in my hallway after he's gone. Show notes for this episode of Bathtub Mermaid can be found at the website bathtubmermaid.com. You can also contact me on Twitter at Melissa, spelled M-E-L-Y-S-S-E. Information for Dog Days of Podcasting can be found at dogdaysofpodcasting.com, including the feed with all of the participants. Thanks a lot for listening. Make sure you never let your bathwater get too cold. Come on inside. I know how it feels, babe, to feel unclean. Most everybody knows to feel that stain. So
so deep inside. And still it shows, but you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub. Yes, you can.